All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We've come before your presence. We've come to offer you up our worship and our praise. We've come to glorify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've come to ask you to speak to us this morning. Give us the directions we need for life, and give us the strength we need to go out into this world and be your witnesses among the lost and the dying. And we pray that all that we do this morning is according to your will and glory, as we come in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Through the darkness, your loving kindness.
Good morning, everybody. This is at the point where I say, let the children come. But I see a lot who probably aren't going to come forward, and that's okay. But you know what? I'm still going to talk to the older kids. And by that, I mean all of us. I'm not going to talk long because I'm going to talk about what the pastor's going to talk about. And I was going to tell the kids a story, and stop me if you've heard this. It's about three little pigs.
Okay, you stop.
All right, you're laughing, so I'm guessing you've heard this one before. But it's a wonderful story that we can use to think about our own faith. And in a minute, you'll hear Pastor Hughes talk about that. But the three little pigs, if we remember the story, we had one pig who was carefree, didn't think anything in the world and built a house of straw. Another one who was a little more practical, built a house of sticks. And then we had the other one who took life seriously and built a house of bricks. And when the tough moments came, the other two pigs came crawling back to the brother who had built the house and laid the foundation properly with bricks. And that's a wonderful thing that we all can think about, and that's a great way to think of the story, is we should have our foundation with us. Sometimes we think of the troubles and the time it takes to read the Bible, and I don't have time for that, or to say a good night prayer, or to say a good morning prayer, which is something I've started doing in the last few years. But it's these little things that lay our foundation. It's like the bricks that we build the church of, the bricks that we build our house with. So as you listen to today's message, I want you to remember about your own foundation and how we can take the time to build our foundation so that when the tough times come and the wolf comes knocking at our door, we know that we've got God on our side and we'll be safe. Sound like a good story?
Amen.
Amen. Let's take a moment to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day. We thank you for this foundation that you're helping us build. We believe in you, and we give our lives to you that we know things will be okay in the end. Help us spread that word that we may help others build that foundation. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys, for humoring me and listening to me, but I wanted everybody to hear that story. Hey, I also want to say thank you for those that have been lifting up my daughter, Jordan, and my wife, Shelley, in prayers. Jordan had some really tough surgery this week. She had a few tough days that follow. Physically, she's starting to heal. Unfortunately, she's going to be wearing a bag for the summer, which no one wants to wear, especially a young 34-year-old single mom. Thinks it's the end of her world. But she'll get through this season, this little journey. And your prayers mean a lot. She's had some tough mental moments already, and Shelley's been dealing with her and helping her through those. So if you continue to lift those prayers, most appreciative. Priscilla's at home this morning. I want you to know that she's okay. It's just not the best of days for some people to get out, and I suspect that's where others are today. It is going to be a hot one this week. Dale, sorry to hear about the passing of your mother, but please know that you and her and the family have been lifted up with all of us and from all of us in prayer. And just imagine that moment, that glory, when she arose. So, wonderful things. Do we have any other praises or concerns that we need to be made aware of today? Yes, Linda. I am sorry to hear that. We will pray for a good outcome. That is tough. What part of Indiana? Oh, Shelley's from a little town called Daleville. Born in Anderson, right next to it. So, all right, so we'll definitely keep them in prayer. Please be careful this week. And with the heat coming in, it's going to be 100 in the big cities here. We're blessed and only low to mid-90s, but for us, that's pretty tough.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated, and please take the time to check on your neighbors, okay? Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Doug. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving to you, first off, thanking you for all the things that you do for us. The first and foremost is the gift of salvation. We thank you for the sending of your Son into this world. Though we were undeserving, you let him die for us and give us eternal life, and to give us the strength that we need to go each day, knowing what our destiny is going to be. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the lessons that is in it. We thank you that it is our instruction book for life, and that it is part of the foundation that we must build our lives upon, as upon your word, and of course upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the other provisions of life. We thank you for the food. We thank you for the clothing on our back. We thank you for the roof over our head. And we thank you for the means to support our lives as we go through this world. And we pray, Father, for those that are poor of health issues, those who have gone through surgeries, and those who are facing surgeries. We pray that you would be with them, be with those that provide their care, and most of all, that they know of your being in their lives, that your love for them, and that you give them the strength that they need. Also to be with those of our church family who have just recently lost loved ones. They need your special attention. They need your love. They need your strength through these difficult times. And only the love that you can give them can fill that empty spot. And we pray, Father, that as we go through this service now, we're intent upon listening to what you have to say to us, and to know that it is very important that we're attentive to your word and to your voice. And we pray that all is done and said now is according to your will, your glory, as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ above all. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. thing real quick. I got my boat in the water yesterday, and it's ready to go. I got it parked in Steve's slip on his lift. Thank you. And thank Lee for all the work getting it done for me. At a senior home in Florida, a resident group was discussing ailments. "My arms are so weak I can hardly lift this cup of coffee," said one. "Yes, I know. My cataracts are so bad I can't even see my coffee," replied another. "I can't turn my head because of the arthritis in my neck," said a third, at which several others nodded weakly. "My blood pressure pills make me very dizzy," another one went on. "I guess that's the price we pay for getting old," winced an old man. There was general agreement, and a short moment of silence ensued. "Well, it's not that bad," said one woman cheerfully. "Thank God we can still drive." In 1174, an Italian architect, Bonanno Pisano, began a work on what would become his most famous project, a standing bell tower for the cathedral of the city of Pisa. The tower was to be 8 stories and 185 feet tall. There was just one little problem. Builders quickly discovered that the soil was much softer than they had anticipated, and the foundation was far too shallow to adequately hold the structure. Before long, the entire structure began to tilt, and it continued to tilt until finally the architect and the builders realized that nothing could be done to make the Leaning Tower of Pisa straight again. It took 176 years to build the tower, and during that time, many things were done to try to compensate for the tilt. Nothing worked. The tower has stood for 800 years, but it leans 18 feet away from where it should. Over the years, countless measures have been taken to prevent its fall. Presently, they say it's safe for another 300 years. Pisa means marshy land. The Empire State Building. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. I've been from bottom to top. It's 103 stories, 1,253 high, almost a quarter mile up. 10 million bricks, 6,000 windows, 75 miles of water pipe, and miles of electrical wires. Houses 25,000 people, can house 85,000 on any day, weighs over 303,000 tons. Built on a tremendous foundation to withstand the winds and the storms, it is built on rockers in solid granite. You know, most of that island, Manhattan Island, is granite. That's why they got such big, big, tall buildings they got, because they can build on such a great foundation. In the closing of the Sermon on the Mount, the invitation. Jesus is giving his plan for building a life. It is useless to us if we do not abide by it. Storms will come. We'll be destroyed unless we build on an adequate foundation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27. We're going to close out the Sermon on the Mount today. And Jesus is kind of encapsulating here the whole thing. We're going to look at that here in a few minutes. But it starts, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Here's a simple illustration, a nursery rhyme that I was talking about a minute ago. The three little pigs. Once there was a mother pig who had three little pigs. She did not have enough to take care of them, so she sent them out to seek their own fortunes. The first little pig He had gone far when he had met a man with a bundle of straw. The little pig said to him, "Please, man, give me that straw to build me a house." This man did, and soon the little pig had built a home with it. It was cheaper and easier to build, and he wouldn't have to devote much time in building the house. Along comes the wolf. He knocks on the door of the little pig's house and called, "Little pig, little pig, let me come in." The little pig answered, "No, no, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin." The wolf said, "I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." He huffed and he puffed until he blew the house in. Now, Todd, what you told the three little pigs ended up one house, that's a Disney version. And for the kids, that's a good version. But for adults, the wolf ate the pig. The second little pig, he had not gone far when he met a man carrying a bundle of sticks on his shoulders. The little pig said to him, "Please, man, give me those sticks to build me a house." The man did, and soon the little pig had built a house with him. His house cost a little more than the first little pig's house. It would take it a little longer, but what a fine house he thought he would have. Besides, he didn't want to make the same mistake the first little pig made. His house looks sound and it has secure-looking structure, but it has no foundation. Just after the house was built, along came the wolf. He knocked at the door, "Little pig," and he said, little pig, let me come in." But the little pig answered, "No, no, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin." Then the wolf cried, "I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down." So he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house in and ate up the little pig. The third little pig, a man with a lot of bricks, he said to the man, "Please, man, give me those bricks to build me a house." The man did, and soon the little pig had built a house with him. Not only did he build it with bricks, he also put down a solid foundation. His house cost, and it took time to build it. Just after the house was built, along came the wolf, knocked on the door of the little pig's house and said, little pig, let me come in." But the little pig answered, "No, no, by the hair of my chinny chin chin." The wolf said, "I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." So the wolf huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed and he huffed and he puffed, but he couldn't blow the third little pig's house down. Consider the building site. Consider the past. Those people in Jesus' day would not have built their house on a creek bed had they considered talking to their neighbors about the past. They would have known that it would have been foolish to build in a creek bed. Now, I know in recent history, and I can remember, there was an Ash Wednesday storm back years ago, and all these houses in Sandbridge and down in Nag's Head and all that were built on the beaches down there, wiped out. Now, they built houses back, but they put them on pilings, you know, more of a foundation. But even still, sometimes the storms will come and we'll even take we've seen in these recent hurricanes, still take some of them out. I know there was a lady, one of those little hurricanes came through, landed in South Carolina, and was a lady lost her house on the beach. And she says, "God wants it back. He can have it. I'm going back to the mountains." It's foolish to build on the sand. Consider the future. If the builder had checked the past and known the future of the dry creek bed, he wouldn't have built there. Only Christ offers an adequate promise to the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we can know the one who holds it. And that is the foundation we're to be building on. We're to be building on Him. Remember, the easiest place to build is not always the best. It's easy to dig in the sand. Building life on a shaky ground is usually the easiest life. There's a lot of people out there living that, you know, that kind of easy life to think it is, you know, enjoying it all. It's easy. But for us, Christ never promised it would be easy. Despite all what are these, some of these evangelists and TV people tell you and all, you know, come give all this to me and tithes to the Lord and all of this. Everything is going to be hunky-dory. You're never going to have any more problems, never going to have any more struggles. Uh-uh. Jesus never promised a rose garden. Taking up a cross requires many difficult tasks. That's like Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. It's staying on the straight and narrow. That path is hard and straight. It's difficult to stay on it. But you can take the wide road, and that, what did he say? That wide road leads to destruction. Remember, the most attractive plot is not always the best. Isn't that what happened to Lot when Abraham let him choose, and he chose the well-worded lands, what looked good for best for him, and took it where he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah? All kinds of problems. The dry creek bed looks good. Many find certain religions attractive, choose for what they can get out of it. Some people, when they go church shopping, they try to find the church. What can it do for me? What can it do for me? They're looking for what they can get the most out of. Real religion is not what one gets out of it, but what one can give. We choose Jesus Christ. What do we do? We give our lives to Him. He demands complete commitment of our lives to Him. And that's the foundation we build on. Build on a solid foundation. God's Word and His Son are the foundation. Remember, Jesus was a master carpenter. He knew how to build. He knew how to do it right. Not only is he talking about building a structure to live in, but he's also talking about the structure that we have, building it on a foundation that is solid. And he gave us a blueprint by which to build our lives. Right here. I call this the instruction book. You know, and I hear people talk all the time, and I think I heard somebody mention yesterday at the breakfast, they did something and it went wrong because they didn't read it. They went back and read the instructions. When kids is growing, you know, Christmas, you know, have stuff to put together, you know, Christmas Eve, you know, the kids are in bed, and boy, you're rushing around, and, oh, I know how to do this. You start throwing something together, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, I got something left over, and what's this? And, hey, this don't look right. Go back and read the instructions, how to take half of it back apart again and do it. Do it step by step on the instructions. This is our instructions for life. This is where we find the direction. This is the foundation, God's Word, that we build our lives on and on Him. We're to live a harmonious life. If you look at back at the Sermon on the Mount, which I've gone through step by step, if you go back and look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, it talks about the harmonious life. It says to live in harmony with God. Be totally dependent upon God. Maintain dissatisfaction with self. Don't be satisfied with it. I have this attitude, and I think of it this way. God's still working on me. He's still working on us. We don't reach perfection until we step into heaven. And maintain a private fellowship with God. That's in prayer and Jesus Christ being your Lord. He's your personal Savior. It's a one-on-one. By living in harmony with your fellow man. Be merciful in treatment of others. What does it say? Do unto others you'd have them do unto you. Promote friendly relations with others. Face man-made trials with assurance, knowing that God is going to see you through them. He's going to help you. By living in harmony with God's mission for Christians. Preservation. He talked about us being the salt. Salt does several things. One, salt preserves, doesn't it? You know, I think back when I think about that, I think about the family, some of my family that used to do hams. They slaughtered pigs in the fall and watch them take those hams in that smokehouse. You know, salt and pepper on it, man. I mean, load it up and then put it in a bag there and hang it up in the smokehouse. Preservation, but also salt. If you like me, I'm going to tell you something. McDonald's, I think, still makes the best French fries. In fact, they consume about 65% of the potatoes. They are no good without salt on them. Got to have a little salt on them. Now, I have to kind of watch that salt thing down because of my blood pressure, but I kind of have to watch that. But and that's just like this time of the year, get fresh corn on the cob. I have a little thing I cook them in the microwave, and it steams them. And I take them out, and I have little dishes that hold just for corn cobs. And I take a stick of real butter, run it all over it. And I'm just kind of sparing with the salt. We've got to have sprinkle a little salt on it. Boy, is that good. I have to tell you what, the fresh corn, especially Silver Queen, the white corn, with a little salt and butter on it, that's better than ice cream. But salt, we're to be the salt. We're to add flavor to the world. We're to influence the world. Though the world doesn't want us influencing it, we are to influence it. And we're to demonstrate. What did he say? We're to be a light. We don't hide it. And I don't know if the kids are singing it in Bible school. I can go right along with them. But I remember it when I was a kid singing it. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let my light shine. And that's what we're to do, to let that light shine. We are to be a reflection. Just like Jesus is a reflection of his Father, just like the moon is a reflection of the sun, we're to be a reflection of Jesus. And that light is to show forth. So we're to live in harmony with God's mission for us. We're to possess Christian righteousness. This is in chapter 5, verses 20 through 48. Correct anger before it develops into murder. Don't let your anger get out of control. Correct lust before it develops into adultery and divorce. Control your outward actions. Think before you do. Bear insult without retaliation. You know, he talked about turning the other cheek. Do more for others than is required. Go the extra mile. Have unbiased love for everyone. Oh, this is the hard part. Love your enemies. Live a righteous life with a consciousness of the presence of God, not the praises of man. Let your life be dedicated to the laying up of treasures in heaven. Treat your fellow man in a Christian manner. Don't criticize and antagonize, and beware of false teachers. That kind of sums up the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what Jesus is talking about here, building on that foundation. A minister once visited a parishioner. The lady of the house was trying to impress him with how devout she was by pointing out the Bible, the large Bible on the bookshelf, and talking in a very reverential way about it was the Word of God. Her young son interrupted the conversation. "Well, if that's God's book, we better send it back to him because we never read it." I know. How many people got a big family Bible sitting there and they never read it? It's important that we read and study it for devotion and learning daily. It's our foundation. It's our instruction book. That's part of that foundation that we build it on. The decisions must be made before the storm comes. When a storm comes, it's too late to check the site. In planning, when you build a place, you make sure it's built right. It's on a good foundation. It's going to withstand the storm. The same way with our lives. You know, hurricanes, when they come, if you haven't prepared, once it hits, it's too late. If you hadn't taken the precautions you need to take. In some places, you know, you need to cover the windows and doors and all, you know, board them up. A lot of places down south now, they have the storm shutters and all of this. What do? We make sure we got batteries if we lose our power. We make sure that we have water and we got food and stuff, if, you know, bread and all that. You know, when they say a hurricane or a bad storm is coming, if you don't get to the grocery store quick, it's gone when you get there. You need to prepare for that, because if you don't have it after it comes, it's too late. When the rushing waters comes, it is too late. You must build your foundation on Christ and obey his teachings. The Sermon on the Mount is a good place to start, and I've preached you the whole Sermon on the Mount. And I hope that as I've gone through this and the times that you're here and you've heard it, you understand and building your life on it. Be sure the storms of life will come. There will be tragedies in your life, because that's part of living. That's part of what being in this world is. There will be the loss of loved ones. Sometimes there will be financial loss. Sometimes there will be health issues in your life. But in order to withstand those, you need God in your life. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need to stand firm on this. There are times when things have really gotten difficult, and I know I'm leaning on and depending on the Holy Spirit in my life to see me through. And I thought about this. There was a time when my father, his heart had quit. My mother was four blocks from the hospital, got him there. They revived him, but he was in a coma for a week. And I'm sitting there with my family, with my mother and my wife and my children. And here I am, a pastor, but it's my father. And I wanted him to live. I wanted him to come through this, which he did. But at that time, I didn't know, and I didn't know if it was God's time to take him. But I'm saying, and I shared this with my mom and dad's pastor, because he came and he was a good friend of mine, and I discussed this with him in private. I said, I want to be strong for my family, but that's my father also. And I know there were times I didn't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit helped me to pray. When we get into difficulties like that and we don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit is there to see us through it. And you're not going to have that unless Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And that's how you withstand the storms of life. I hope you understand. I know a lot of you, I've seen your head shake, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you maybe not sure. Is Jesus Christ part of the foundation that you're building your life on? If not, it's the time today that you can come and receive him. Don't wait for the storm to get difficult. Some people say, well, I got to get this straight. I got to get that straight. No, don't do that. He wants you to come as you are, wherever place you are in life, and he'll take you from there. Do you know him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the time that we've had in these past weeks to go through the Sermon on the Mount. And we see the great instructions that Jesus gave us, the great teachings, the things that we need to build our lives upon. And to know that with his word, with his teachings, and with him, we can withstand all the troubles and trials of life and bring us through the storms and someday into his eternal kingdom. And we pray until then we have and know we have him to depend upon and lean on. Is anyone here that has any doubt about it, has not made that commitment, would do so this morning. For we do it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Psalm 593, where he leads me. I trust you received God's word today, and I hope you've gotten a good foundation from the Sermon on the Mount. and go back and review some of it. You know, I tried to give you a little review this morning, but anyway, we close that out. I've decided I'm going to start next Sunday, and it will be for the next seven Sundays. I'm going to do the seven churches in Revelations. Okay, that's a good one. I always like to do that sometime. So we're gonna look at the seven churches. That has some good messages for us, both as individuals and as a church. You know, just see where we're at and what are we doing, and let's match it up with. And that all comes from Jesus. That's Jesus's instructions. So talks about his seven churches. So let's see today. I think I'm due over here today. I think. So, okay, I'm going to go up here, do the benediction, and then those who want to go that way, I'll see you there. And the rest of you, have a good week and stay in air conditioning. Well, as much as possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for such a beautiful day and a time to be in fellowship with you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence here. May that presence go with us out into the world, and may we be ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where we go in his holy and precious name. Amen.